Good morning, church. How we doing? All right. Hey, one more announcement is that wasn't mentioned yet. You may or may not have seen a Facebook announcement that we're going to be, long story short, Dan and Carrie are going to be leading worship at a concert coming up in August 12th, I think it is. It's going to be at Thousand Hills Ranch in Pismo, an outdoor venue. Misty Edwards is the featured song leader that's going to be leading a worship event there. So it's going to be really amazing. And Dan and Carrie and Josh are going to be opening that. So it's going to be really amazing. A neat opportunity for them to get out and just share a little bit of what they do with the world out there. I feel selfish when they lead worship because I feel like, wow, this is just so good. There should be more people enjoying this. So there's another opportunity for God to touch others at that event. So keep an eye on that market. I think it's the 12th of August. So be there if you can. That'd be really great. Message today is titled Yes and Amen. If you've been hanging out with us at all for the last few weeks, Dan and Carrie have been leading a song called Yes and Amen. I think it's actually a Chris Tomlin song. And the picture there is Carrie behind the wheel of her new bug. You might have seen it parked out front. It's a really blessed story. It's really cool. And when I've been having my quiet time with the Lord these last few weeks, that song, All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen, that song just keeps going through my heart. All Your Promises Are Yes and Amen. And so for those of you who didn't hear the whole story, I'm going to go through it real fast. Maybe Carrie can share it sometime. But about in May, we'd been shopping. I've been helping her shop. She just for years wanted an old Beetle. And we found one. It was just beautiful, perfect. The paint was beautiful. The, you know, rebuilt engine recently. Everything about it was awesome. And so we went out. She and Dan test drove it, decided that was the one. Purchased it, and I was up with them that day, and so we were on our way home from buying that car. We're coming down Highway 41 between Atascadero and Morro Bay, and there was a boom behind the car. Dan was following in the in his truck, and I knew something was wrong, so immediately found a little wide spot and pulled over, and Dan's like, I looked in the rear view, and he's like, get out, you know, and so we jumped out of the car, went behind to take a look, and there was flames coming out of the engine compartment. So I knew, like a smart guy, I said, there's a fire extinguisher in the back seat of this car. So I ran and grabbed the fire extinguisher and click, 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 nothing. So all we could do, we called 911 and summoned fire, but by the time anybody got there, it was completely engulfed, huge, huge fire. It was something. We were blessed that it, well, A, that we got out, B, that we didn't like go, you know, panicky and drive off a cliff or something, and then see that, you know, it happened in such a place that there was no brush to catch fire. So while we were standing there, I was really struck by how peaceful we all were, especially Carrie and Dan. I was probably freaking out just a little, but how peaceful. And we're just standing there and just saying, well, God, you're greater than this, you know, watching her dream car that she'd been saving her makeup. She does side jobs doing makeup and stuff for weddings, saving all her money and just watching it all go up without having any assurance that it was going to be okay, other than the promises of God that promise us that he's watching, that he's taking care of things, that we don't have to stress. We don't have to worry when things appear to be going the opposite direction of blessing, right? We kind of think we're believers, we believe in God, God wants to bless his children, good things should happen to us. Well, that's true. Good things do happen to us. We have many, many countless promises of God to bank on. But that song, just I'll read a couple bars out of that song. I will rest in your promises. My confidence, if I was Dan, I'd sing it. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. Faithful you are. Faithful forever you will be. Faithful, yes, you are. All your promises are yes and amen. And that's what I want us to kind of key in on today, is that we are the beneficiaries, the recipients of many, many promises. Does anybody have an idea how many promises of God are in the Bible? Somebody give me a number. Take a guess.
5,000.
That's a good guess. Anybody got another guess? Anyway, I've heard it said, I read this week that there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. And I started thinking, that's a lot of promises. In fact, I did the quick math, 7,000 divided by... If we took a promise of God every day, it'd take us about 20 years to go through all of them if we just took one different promise every day. Can you imagine that? I think we got a lot to be thankful for. We got a lot to look forward to, right? Amen. There's so much to be thankful for in God. His plans that he has for us are amazing. So, you know, the end of that picture up there with Carrie, that's the result, you know, of God's faithfulness. You know, we stood there and watched the dream go up in flames. Has anybody ever had something like that happen? Maybe it was a business that you wanted to start. God, you're so in this. I want to start this business. And it starts out okay, maybe. And it like, you know, after a while, it just doesn't quite get it. And next thing you know, you're having to make that tough decision. I'm going to have to close this business because it didn't work out. What happened, God? What happened to that dream? Why didn't you bless it? You know, what's wrong? And the answer is nothing's wrong. You know, it's just we have to be willing to walk with him, to take that path. Sometimes that path goes through hard places, but it always brings us to the other side. It always brings us to the other side. Every day, every single day, we have a fresh opportunity to receive a new promise, receive something new from God. Every day, if we will just take that moment in the morning to give it to him, rest in him, trust in him, every day again, there's something new. I'm going to go through a bunch of these real fast. These are just some quick verses to talk about some of God's promises. Nehemiah 8:10. Are you depressed? Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's a promise. You ever wake up feeling down and out and depressed? The joy of the Lord is your strength. I can take that promise and say, Lord, I'm not feeling it today, but your joy brings me strength. And I just ask you to supply that because he doesn't ask us to manufacture it. We don't have to work it up. We do have to stand on the authority of his word and take his promises and receive them. You know, what good does it be, a father, son, happy birthday. I'm going to buy you a car. Okay, great, Dad. Well, if you don't reach your hands out and receive the keys, all you have is the promise. You still ain't driving the car. You have to grab the keys and go, right? Do you struggle with not feeling strength, feeling weak, feeling down? The next one, Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Promise right there. You wake up not feeling strong. God, I don't have enough oomph to get up out of bed today. There you go. There's your promise for today. For that day, he gives power to you and strength. Struggle with doubt. I'm not even sure if I believe this word, God. Well, what does the word say about doubt? Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have to say yes to him, but he's the author and finisher. What does that mean? That means he supplies all that you need to continue in your faith, to build your faith, to have your faith well up inside of you. That fountain comes from him. That power, that strength, that vision to see today is not just the end of one story, but the beginning of a new story. That's the strength and power that he wants to give you. You got to look to him for that cue that he's got something for you today. And that's where the faith comes from. It comes from him. He just asks us to believe. You know, that one person, Jesus said, do you believe that I can do this? When he asked Jesus to heal his child. And Jesus replied, do you believe? And he gave the most honest answer in the entire Bible. Well, yeah, but help my unbelief. That's all I have to. I pray that every day. God, help my unbelief. Because you know what? I don't have it all together. My strength is only so much. It might even just be the tip of the iceberg. But the whole iceberg below the surface is the strength that he supplies. And the fill-in for our blanks, if you will. Jesus doesn't get writer's block, by the way. When he's the author of your faith, he doesn't go, oh, ding, I forgot Mike. He doesn't forget us. He knows the next chapter. It's already written in his book for you. Our job is just to stay faithful to him, walk with him, look for him in all the little things. Are you afraid of death, anybody? He says this to you. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. John 11:25. Amen, right? This ain't it. This is just this chapter that we're wearing, this particular, Pastor Neil likes to call it the earth suit. That's just this chapter. There's a whole book waiting on the other side of this life for you and for me. And that's what he's promising here in John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. So whatever the problem might be, there's a promise from God in his word that can overcome that strength, that struggle, that can overcome that sickness, that can heal the illness. Find the promise that you need and bank it. Write it down. We sometimes fail in that. We don't always take that promise that God's giving us and put it in a place where we can remind ourselves. So if you got a notebook, write these notebook belief promises down that I'm going to take this one. I'm going to believe this one today. I'm going to write it down. Maybe even put it on your, medicine chest. So you get up in the morning and you look at your face and you go, ooh, and you go, okay, whoa, let's look at the promise of God. That weary looking thing I see in the mirror, that isn't it. I'm going to believe that the joy of the Lord is my strength today, or whatever that you have written on that scripture verse. So put the word in front of you, remind yourself, and maybe, if you have a spouse or significant other or prayer partner, remind each other. Like, I should know Rick's, what he's standing on, and he should know mine. We can believe and pray and support each other in those promises, right?
Amen.
I wanted to read a story about God's promises. It's going to be a bit of a passage, so bear with me. It's Joshua chapter 3. And I was just going to take some snippets out of there, but I really think the whole story is going to really tell us something that we may not have seen before about how God works. I wanted to just highlight this story. So to back up the background to Joshua 3, so we all maybe are familiar, right, with, okay, the nation of Israel was slaves in Egypt, and God raised up Moses to deliver them. So we know the whole story of the Pharaoh and the plagues and all that stuff. And so God eventually took them to the end of that, and then he raised them up. They left Egypt, and they went and they wandered in the desert, and they basically, he promised them, the big promise was, I'm going to give you a new land. I am promising you, well, they called it the promised land. A new land, a new place, a place to thrive and grow. What happened? Well, they got a little tired of waiting for God when they went out into the desert, and they started thinking, oh, we didn't have it so bad back in slavery, at least we got to eat and we had good meat and whatever. And so they got discouraged, and then when they sent out spies into what was to be the promised land, some of the spies came back and said, yeah, there's land over there, but there's giants and stuff that live there. And they told these scary stories that kept people out and kept people from believing the promise, to the point where they lost faith. And God said, you know what? I'm not even gonna take you guys there. Your children are gonna be inheriting that. Y'all are gonna wander in the desert for 40 years. And that's what happened. They wandered in the desert, basically with a promise out in front, but they basically did not get to enter in. Their children's generation did. The only exception to that was Joshua. So Joshua, as the leader, takes over from Moses, and now we have the story. They're done with their 40 years of wandering. Moses has just passed on, and now they're going to enter into that promised land. So here's Joshua 3. Early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River, where they camped before crossing. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the priest, the Levitical priest, carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move out from your positions and follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind them. So get the picture. So nation, 6 million or so people out, camped out in the desert. The ark was what represented God's presence. It was a box, if you will, that held the tablets of the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod, had a couple things in it, some manna. But that box was basically the representation of the presence of God, and it was going before them. And they were supposed to keep about a half mile back, because back then the veil hadn't been opened to them, and it was like, you don't even want to be too close, because Who knows? But anyway, that was the instruction, was to follow. You'll see the priest and the ark going forward. Just get in and fall in behind them. Stay about a half mile back. Make sure you don't come any closer. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. Or in other words, the other word is set. It says sanctify yourself, which just means to set yourselves apart. Make yourselves right. For tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. Okay, so I didn't bring it, but there's a picture I was looking at. The Jordan River looks like a normal little river, you know, I don't know, probably maybe twice as wide as this building, you know, in most spots. But during certain seasons, it was at flood stage when it got, who knows, probably half a mile wide. It was huge. Well, that's where they were at, this flood stage river, and God's saying, oh, yeah, just go ahead and cross right about there. There's no bridges back then, you know. There's a river in the way. They can't. The river represents a barrier. The promised land is over there, other side of the river. The river is a barrier, right? And God's saying, go for it. Like, what? Excuse me? So the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command and to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the river, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. The people that lived there were an obstacle as well. He's saying, I'm going to drive them all out, and I'm going to give you that land. But look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But soon, as the feet of the priests who were carrying the Ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at the town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So again, the picture is the people were separated from their promise by a barrier. The barrier was overcome by the presence of God. And that's how he wants to work in our lives. That's what I saw. The revelation to me was, the more I soak in God's presence, the more I just take that time to stay in him, to be with him, to listen to him, to allow him to drive the bus, if you will, I get to enter into the promises. All those 7,000 are open to me. And the things that I need, I can take and claim because the presence of God will guide me and lead me into all the things that he has for me. All God's promises are yes and amen. They really are. That song is just, let that song be your theme, you know, as you just process that time in his presence and saying, God, you know what? There's a lot up against me. Is anybody here facing any struggles at all, or has everybody got it perfect today? Is everybody doing just really good? No pain? Job's good? If so, awesome. You know, we get those seasons, don't we, where everything's going good? And don't you know, despise that at all. I mean, just because you're not having trouble, oh, wow, you know, I guess I don't have any room for God to bless. He can always bless you more. And why would he do that? Why does he bless us with abundance? Anybody?
Share with others.
If you have an abundance, guess what? You've got some to give, right? You've got more to give out. When God blesses me, I become the Dead Sea if I just hold it all into myself. But I become a river of living water if I pour it back out. If I let that blessing pour through me to somebody else, awesome. Back to the promises. What's your favorite? Do you have any favorite promises? Do you have one that sticks in your mind? Is there anything, you know, you go, maybe it was something that you were taught when you were a little kid in Sunday school and it just stuck with you? I just, so many, when I stop to think about God's promises, they start to come in and you go, oh yeah. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Can you imagine a guy who spent 30 years as a carpenter on earth and then spent a couple more millennium just changing the world? He goes just for you, to prepare you a place in heaven. Isn't that an awesome promise? In heaven, he's going to have a Jesus-built home for you. I can't wait to see that. Another promise, I will never leave you or forsake you.
Praise God.
Yeah. Is that good? I mean, he will never leave you.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, even though you might not feel him today, it doesn't mean he's not there. Sometimes he allows that. I think he allows us to have to walk, sometimes almost feeling like we're alone, because he wants you to see that you can do it. He's behind you, kind of like, I don't know, I remember another picture pops into my head. When I was learning to ride a bicycle, there was a junior high school out our back fence, and my dad went out, there was like a dirt track, like a running track, it was dirt, and there's this little Stingray bicycle that I begged him for Christmas. He built me when it was really cool. And he took me out, and he would get behind me and push. He'd say, just pedal, and he'd push, and then he'd let go, and and he'd be right there running alongside, and he'd grab the bike so I wouldn't fall, you know, and then he'd go a little further, you know, and he'd take his hand off the bike, and I'd go a little further, but next thing, couldn't tell if he was behind me holding the bike or if it was just me, and that's when I got it, and I think God allows those moments when he takes his hand off the back seat of the bike so you don't feel him, but you can still do it under his power. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Good.
I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Don't believe that God doesn't want you to enjoy this life. Don't believe that if you're having a season of blessing that, you know, you should feel guilty about taking that vacation or driving that nice car. He blesses us with things because he wants us to enjoy this life. The only mistake we can have is when we allow those things that he gives us to be the thing that drives us. You know, the car all of a sudden that loses its shine and now you need another one. And, you know, the job all of a sudden, that great job you hoped for years, you got it. And now it seems kind of boring and routine. You know, all the things of this world, they do, as that one song says, grow strangely dim. Because God doesn't want us to grab onto those things and hold on to them. He just wants those things to be things that we use as tools in this life to accomplish his will. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. So I don't care where you came from, whatever your story is, you're new. You know, there's no old baggage. It doesn't matter if you've had terrible things happen to you in this life. And some people have. You may have experienced some terrible things. You know, many people in this room, I'm sure, have experienced abuse, you know, verbal or otherwise. You know, many things, you know, being judged incorrectly. A lot of it, you know, a lot of us have walked through some really painful stuff, but he's making us new. So that's the promise you can walk away with too. He knows the plans he has for you, plans for a future and a hope. Those are all solid promises that wherever you are in this life, he's got something even better than you can imagine. So if you can imagine today is good, tomorrow can be even greater because he's got more for you. He isn't done with you. If you're still breathing, he's not done with you. I'd like to just kind of end this little talk about one really good promise. Another, this one was kind of new to me. And try to get the picture while we read this one. This song is kind of unlocking, to me, I don't know, the big picture promise. Let's listen to 2 Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Let's get that. I'm going to read that part again. I'm going to read the rest of it, but get that. Thanks be to God who in Christ
always,
not sometimes, always leads us in consolation prize? No. Victory, a triumph procession. Have you ever seen like a sports team that won their World Series or Super Bowl or whatever, and they get on those convertible cars or whatever, and they go through town. There's confetti all being poured on them, and everybody's cheering from the sidelines.
Yeah, that's good.
Sports teams. How much more important is it to win life? Win life, and you're going to be in a triumphant procession led by Jesus. And that, those triumphs that we experience by receiving his promises, those triumphs are a sweet aroma that attract people. Have you ever walked by a restaurant and you go, I want to eat there? That's a sweet aroma, right? It's attractive. It pulls things in. It pulls you together. Jesus wants to make you a sweet aroma that attracts people to him. What an amazing thing. He can do that. He can use you to make the other people in your world excited about God. Wow, if God can do that for you, I'll bet he can do that for me. Right? It's a sweet aroma. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Those people, family and friends that don't know him, he's a sweet aroma to them through you too. We've got to live in that victory parade. We've got to live in that sweet aroma. We've got to take and run with all those promises of God. Don't come up short. Don't sell your life short. He's got so much more for you. I want to finish. There's going to be a promise proclamation, proclaiming this right now. It's kind of like a benediction, we'll call it. You see when there, Josh, promise, I think it should be there, one of the second to last slide. Promise proclamation. I proclaim that I will never face anything in life without a promise from God sufficient to give me the total victory. I proclaim I will never face anything in life without a promise from God sufficient to give me the total victory. Stand on it. Let's do it, okay? I want to hear next time when we come together next Sunday, let's bring stories of the promises God has fulfilled in us. Just like that promise, that slide you saw of Carrie in her car with the big smile, that was a promise fulfilled. That's attractive. People want to hear stories. You know what? I didn't bring it in that slide set, but there was a slide of the burned hulk of the car that she didn't get. And if we'd left it there, that would be sad. It'd be a tragedy. But we didn't. The story didn't end there. The story continued, and she received the blessing. Yes and amen. The Son of God, one more verse. Gotta leave you with one more. It's basically the yes and amen verse, the whole verse in context. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Amen. All of his promises are yes and amen.
Don't stand up, close it out with me. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises.
such a good time. We're going to stay and minister and pray together for a little bit longer. If not, if you guys got stuff to do, awesome. Have an amazing week. God bless you, and I love you.
Thank you.